What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is that would be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Ja'Kalen Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlamagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey, everybody, it's Pastor Jay. And like always, we're going to start off in normal fashion. And normal fashion is this. We're going to come out of John 3:16. I could say it without the scripture, because everybody should know this. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or eternal life, or whatever your translations say. But God gave his only begotten son to give us another chance. God gave his only begotten son to be able to give us life while we were surrounded by so much chaos and death. God loved you enough where he was able to sacrifice. And he shows that little sacrifice back with Isaac and Abraham, when he asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac on the mountain. And then he gave him that sacrificial lamb in replace of his son. He didn't have to sacrifice his son. God did, for us to have another chance so that we could be able to know him. That's how much love he got for you. That's how much love God got for you. If you're watching me, no matter where you're at right now, I want you to know God loves you. Even though you've probably heard this superficial word love and felt like people have played with your emotions with love, people have not treated you the way that they're supposed to. I want you to know in John 3:16, if you don't know no other scripture in the Bible, it shows you that God loved you enough that he gave up something that was precious to him. And that was his only son. So just know God loves you. And he just wants you to love him back. That's it. You know, sometimes we make it too complicated because we're like, oh, well, he has all these rules. No, those are provisions to get you from being in situations you don't want to be in. Stuff that you feel like, man, that I wish I didn't have to end up in these situations. Well, God is just trying to prevent you from those. It was guidance. It was wisdom. But we got to change our mindset on how we see how God is trying to help us in these moments. Because God loves you. He's going to tell you. He ain't going to tell you everything that you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to hear. Amen. Amen. Make sure everybody that's coming in, make sure you register with the podcast by clicking the likes, the hearts, share, tag. Make sure you download the Anointed Radio app. Make sure you share with us. Dear Father God, I thank you, God, for everything that you've done in our lives. God, I ask you to just be able to be in the midst tonight. Let something be said to be able to encourage, something to be said to be able to uplift, something to be said to be able to point people back to you. God, I ask you to be in the midst of these holiday seasons. There's people going through so many mindsets. Some are grieving, some are joyful, some people are sad, some people are happy. But despite of what they're going through, God, meet them where they are to help them, to guide them, to be able to give them the things that they need. God, I ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, if anybody is dealing with suicide, that you will cancel out the devil's plan, that you will be able to give them a joy that only could come from you, to be able to show them that they are loved and that no matter what comes their way, that you got their back. God, I ask you right now to be able to touch everybody in this holiday season, to be able to truly see you. If they felt like they've fallen off and if they felt like they've drifted away, God, I ask you to be able to meet them where they are right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, where you could be able to just show them that you are still there. They might have divorced you, but you've never divorced them. God, I ask you to be able to let us be able to reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and let us even touch somebody with the hardest heart so they can say, what can I do to be saved? God, enlarge the territory of Anointed Radio. Let us be able to get to many platforms, countries, cities, streams, airwaves, wherever, satellites, wherever our broadcast is. Let us be able to go forth and be able to spread this gospel of our ministry at Anointed Radio and be a great representation of you, Lord, to be able to spread hope, love, and joy in today, Lord. In this season, Lord, in what we're going through in this ministry, let us be able to go forth and have a genuine ministry where we show good representation, good soil in you, Lord. God, we ask you to bless everybody in the sound of my voice. Let them be able to break chains, be able to get breakthroughs, to be able to have financials, to be able to just turn it around for them, Lord. Let them be able to truly see the evidence of you, Lord, in their everyday life and how you are working in their benefit. God, I thank you. God, I love you. God, I give you all the glory and all the praise. And God, I just ask you in your son's precious son's Jesus name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want everybody to know that it is the holiday season. Yes, Mariah Carey has been thawed out for a minute. I already heard her song 27,000 times. So shout out to Mariah Carey and that fat check that she gets constantly because, man, I don't understand it. Man, I need to get a song like Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey begin her checks every holiday because they are playing her dramatically. But with that being said, all on topic, everybody, this is Pastor Jalen. Like always, I got something to say. You can follow me at Anointed Jalen. It's on the screen, everybody. Anointed Jalen, where you could be able to follow me and see my ministry. If you need prayer and if you need anything, definitely check it out. Another thing I wanted to shout out, my single, Can I Get a Little Grace, is number two at two radio station charting right now. I want to shout out everybody that's listening to my new single, Can I Get a Little Grace? It's doing great on streaming. It's doing great on radio. It's been a testament because this song has been a song that I had to live out. And what I mean by that, I'm asking people to, can I give a little grace? But to give grace, you got to give grace. And it's been, I have had to eat my own words in this song, and I hope this is the grace era, and this is what it's supposed to do. So we definitely got to start giving more grace and mercy in this era that we live in, because time is short. People are leaving left and right. So let's make sure that we are giving some grace. So make sure, if you haven't got it, make sure you go get, Can I Get a Little Grace, on all social media platforms. No, all music streaming platforms, or on my social media, you could go get the single as well. And don't forget my other song, Spirit Flow Through Me. And I see everybody's wrap up. Man, it's great to see people working and seeing the fruits of their labor for the whole year. Seeing the Spotify wrap ups and the Apple Music wrap ups. Salute to everybody that did something here in 2023 in the music world, because you put out an effort. So I'm telling you, you are appreciated and your project didn't go in vain. Amen. Amen. So with that, we got a sick and shut-in list, quite long sick and shut-in list of the co-hosts for Anointed Radio. I'm gonna start calling it the sick and shut in list, like the Baptists used to say back in the day. And this, and on the sick and shut in list, we got Simi So Real. Everybody reach out your hands to Simi So Real. She ain't here today. She couldn't make it today, so y'all keep her in prayer. We have Marvette the artist. She needs in prayer. And then we have the bishop. Disappointing. The bishop ain't able to come in today. Mr. Mercy coming. Ain't able to come in today. And they are all on the prayer list. Make sure y'all stay and keep them in prayer. They'll be here probably next week. So, but we do have somebody that ain't been on for a minute. She ain't been here for a minute. So before I bring her up, I gotta throw all my slides. Like, she ain't been here for a minute. Like, I was like, where's she been? Where's she been at? I don't know where she's been. It's the prophetess. Yep. Her. If y'all didn't know who I was talking about, it was not shade. It was just saying awareness of like location, you know, because we don't know where you was at.
AWOL.
You went AWOL. Yeah, you and AWOL. That, and now you back. So everybody, hey. Dish. Yay, that girl good. That girl, you know, got two books out. Y'all go get her book. She got two books out. Go, that girl good.
Three.
Oh, three books. My bad.
Actually, go ahead. I have more than that. I've written in about seven or eight books. So yeah, I'm up there.
Go get
but no. Her. Hey, Prophetess Tish been working on her doctorate degree, so Prophetess Tish can become Prophetess Dr. Tish Shearer. And amen. So I had to take a break and had to prioritize a little bit. But hey, I am back on the scene. Do miss my Anointed Radio family as well. But hey, for those that are still looking at and checking for me, you can check me out on social media platforms, all social media platforms at Fervently Creation. So TikTok, Fervently Creations, on Instagram, Fervently Creations, and as well on Facebook as Fervently Creations. And you can go to my website, www.ferventlycreations.com. Oh, and check out my show, Fervently Creations.
Yeah. Everywhere, just type in the word that you see on the screen.
Persistent.com,
and you could be able to find her across the board. And we're gonna go ahead and bring up our guest. But before we bring up our guest, Las Vegas, let me holler at you real quick. We have a new team coming, and it's the Las Vegas A's. We have MLB coming to the city of Las Vegas. That is amazing. When I moved here in 2015, we had no teams. I mean, you could go watch them in the casino at the sports book, but you couldn't go watch a team. Now we have WNBA, two-time champion, the Las Vegas Aces. We have the Las Vegas Knights. We have the Las Vegas Lights. We have now the soon-to-be Las Vegas Athletics. And they're working on an NBA team. I'm telling you, Las Vegas is blown up. I mean, we got to be large. It's crazy how much growth we've had just in not even a decade yet. So to shout out to the city of Las Vegas. Make sure that you go support all our sports teams. And I want y'all to make sure y'all go find you a church. Like, I'm just saying, you're watching a church. You're watching a Christian platform. I'd be dismissed if I didn't tell you to go to church somewhere. I'm just saying somewhere. It could be online church. It could be in-person church. It could be just go some, be part of a ministry to have a support system, because I'm going to tell you right now, you need a support system. And I'm feeling that 2024, get your support system before 2024. However you get it, because something's coming in 2024 where it's going to require you to have a support system, and it's going to be dire to your growth. So I don't know who that's for, but just go get your support system. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and bring up our guest. Our guest is a woman of many talents. I saw her actually on Threads, and that's how I connected to her on Threads. And I was like, oh, she's dope. I want to bring her on the show. And when I reached out to her, she said, oh, yeah, y'all can come on the show. And I mean, I booked it like months ago. Like, that's crazy. Because most people drop off. You'd be like, oh, so you still coming on the show? You're like, what show? Yeah. But it didn't happen that way. Thank God. Praise God. She has a heavy presence on social media. She's in the ministry of health. health is wealthy, everybody. And I want you guys, you know, why am I introducing her? I'll let her introduce herself. Miss Shauna Culette, everybody.
Hey, hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hello, hello, hello. So go ahead and tell everybody, where's your social media? What's your website? All your good stuff.
Yes, you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all under the alias of Hey Shanta Q. TikTok is Hey Shanta Q TV, but if you just type Hey Shanta Q, you're going to find me. And my website is www.heyshantaq.com.
Amen. Okay, so that's real simple. So I'm going to go ahead and start off with some simple questions.
Okay.
You know, like what the Baptists used to say, let me introduce you to some and reintroduce you to others. We're going to first ask, what is your, I guess
you're saying, an icebreaker?
Nah, we ain't going to do that.
You ain't going to break her in?
So what, why do I have to be treated differently?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, why can't we break her in?
Nah, we ain't no ice. Okay, icebreaker question. You ready for the icebreaker question?
It's probably something out the Bible, ain't it? Go ahead.
it was, but it can be.
Okay, no, go.
With you. Oh, okay. So, if you had to choose to eat a breakfast sandwich, a fast food breakfast sandwich, every morning, what would you choose? And you have to
egg muffin.
Okay.
A McDonald's egg muffin.
She was ready for that one.
Listen, she was like, I like that one. Yes.
You ain't gonna ask me. You can't listen. Egg McMuffin.
Okay. You're not going to say Whataburger or nothing. It's just
McDonald's Egg McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin. Okay. All right. Okay. That was the icebreaker. Prophetess, can I proceed?
Proceed.
All right. So, first, I want to ask, where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
I am. So I was actually raised in Denver, Colorado, but I was, what I say, Texas made me, Denver raised me. But I am located in Dallas, Texas, in a suburb, a small suburb.
Okay. So Denver. So that's a dramatic change going from cold to humid heat. But Dallas gets some type of cold. So can I say that you are now excited that primetime actually brought more things to the city of Denver and Colorado area?
Now we already had the Denver Broncos and the Denver Nuggets now. But hold up now. I consider myself alumni. For Colorado. I took a few classes there, but I am very delighted that he is there because it did put us, I guess, it really put us on the map, right? You know, we did have the Denver Broncos, we have, you know, Colorado Rockies, and, you know, all those teams have won championships, but I'm glad that we have Deion in our city.
Okay, so it brought more attention to the city.
More attention, because everybody's like, oh, you know, Colorado, now people are visiting Colorado. And, you know, at first it was a time where people were like, I didn't even know black people.
I was just about to say that. So I'm glad you said that before me, because I never thought to, like, you know how you think about places to go travel? I never in my mind said, and was like, you know what, I'm going to go to Denver, Colorado, see what's out there.
Yeah, very surprisingly, now when you think of Colorado, Colorado is not as diverse, but Denver is a very diverse, diverse city. I actually went to I want to say 98% black school, black middle school. I went to Martin Luther King Middle School. That was a great thing about growing up in Denver, because it is a very diverse city. Everybody who was doing something looked like me, our elected officials, principals, counselors, doctors, teachers, were black. So it was a great city to grow up in.
That's dope. You taught me something, because I never knew. So yeah. I want to ask this question. So how was the transition from now going from Colorado to now Dallas?
So it was very interesting, because I was voluntold at first. If y'all know, if you got parents, I was voluntold. So I didn't come to Dallas at, with free will. I was voluntold. So it was actually a change. It was a dramatic change, but it was a good change. Dramatic but good, because I met my husband within the first 8 or 9 months. I would say 10 months that I moved here. The reason why it was traumatic, because the first six months, I ended up being a victim of a violent crime in Dallas, Texas. And so I had never been part of anything like that when I was in Denver all my years, even though gangs were very prominent in the 90s growing up in Denver, Colorado. But I learned to love it. You know, I met my husband here, had 2 children here. Most of my family, this is where my family is from. My family is from East Texas. So it took some time, but it didn't take very long.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you this question. So what really was your spark? What was your testimony, you could say, that really led you into being so multifaceted as you are today?
So I grew up with parents who were, you know, 9 to 5, they were W-2 wage earners, but they were also entrepreneurs. So I always see my dad working, you know, a 9 to 5, but he also had a side hustle. My mom also always had a side hustle. So I always seen, you know, drive and ambition in front of me, but I always felt like I needed to be doing something else. Even though I went to school for accounting, I always just felt like I needed to be doing something else. So it wasn't until really, I want to say 2014, when I had a major shift. I was, you know, here in Dallas. I decided to take a step up in my career ladder and move away from my family, talked to my husband and my kids and said, hey, this is gonna be the best thing. So my husband stayed in Dallas. I moved to Fort Smith, Arkansas, in a very rural area, industrial city. I think I looked at my watch several times and it said 1950, that's how it was. But it was a very, I don't want to say, I will say it was a traumatic experience, right? And so during that time, I was going through all this stuff at work. And at the same time, I had these friends who were battling breast cancer. And from 2014, when I took the position, to 2015, my aunt and two of those friends, well, 2 of my 3 friends had passed away. My aunt and my friend passed away 2 days apart. And so I decided to start an organization, a nonprofit organization, which catered to breast cancer patients, making them feel beautiful and motivating and inspiring them. And I really enjoyed that. I still work full time with the IRS, but I still felt like that wasn't enough. We have this thing where they like, put your cape on, you superwoman, you got to be doing everything. And if you ain't doing everything, you're not doing enough. And that's the type of mindset I had. So I was doing all these things, helping, you know, women who were going into transition, women who were sick. And then I started dealing with my own health issues. Wow. And so when I started dealing with my own health issues, I was still trying to be the mother, the wife, the worker. I'm trying to run this, you know, nonprofit, take care of my, you know, cater to my friends, do all these things. And I found myself in 2018 in the hospital, surviving a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Well, I survived my heart attack in 2018. That is, you know, very long story of the tumultuous time I had with just trying to get a diagnosis and finding out what was going on with me. But that wasn't enough. I was like, ooh, I still listen. God, you know what we think? God saved me. You know, now I got to really be doing more. And now I got to put more on my plate. And so I started doing exactly that. And 9 months later, I found myself at work at my desk, opening a case file and collapsing. I was diagnosed with a stroke. I had a stroke. And for the next 2 years, from 2019 2022, February of 2022, I was in rehabilitation, cognitive, physical, and occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time where I had to face my own mortality, because now I've had a heart attack. 9 months later, I was 39 when I had my heart attack, 40 when I had my stroke. So now I'm having to face my own mortality and really have that conversation with God. Like, you know, what are you trying to tell me? Like, you play too much, God. You just up there. Was you off that day? That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, who was at the desk when I had my stroke? And it changed me. And so once I really started talking to God, and he really started showing me my purpose, you know, I was so tied to that job. I was doing all this philanthropic stuff, but I was still tied to this job. And mm-hmm. God has showed me in so many ways, this is not your position. This is not your position. This is not your promise. And I was really depressed. I was very sad. You're used to a certain, you know, lifestyle and income, you want to keep it. And so I was fighting. I was like, I want to go back to work. I don't have a problem. I don't hate my job. But God was just like, he was like, everything was just, you know, everything was just falling in place. Like, they were like, one day they were like, hey, you know, you can get medical disability and you can do this. And normally it's really a hard process in the government to medically retire. You even know with just VA, you know, trying to get VA benefits and do all that, it can be a hard, tedious process. But God approved everything. When God said he wanted to approve, so everything was approved. Next thing you know, I find myself like, okay, I'm starting a consumer goods company. And I'm selling these products, these feminine hygiene products, but it still felt like, I kept falling back to that place where you feel like you're not doing enough. And I was kind of just lost in a place like, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, I'm just, you know, I'm just really confused. Like, I have this nonprofit, it's doing well. Now I'm starting this other business and I'm kind of putting myself back in a place that I felt like I was in before, doing too much. But only this time stuff was just, I was getting grant money. Everything was just falling in place. God was just putting everything in place. And the turning point of where I am now is one day I was coming from therapy, and I'm always like, if people know me, I'm always like, you know, glammed up, hair done, you know, feeling my best, feeling great. And one day I was like, I was extremely depressed. I was extremely sad. I cried all day. And my daughter had introduced me to the TikTok app. And she started asking me, hey, mom, will you do some dances with me? And so I would participate and do the dances and do the different things that they heard my son wanted me to do. And what happened was I asked her, like, show me how to download it. So I downloaded it. That day that I came home and was crying and sad, I decided to turn. I had did a lot of videos. So just fast forward, I had did a lot of videos. Then I decided one day I'm going to get on here and I'm going to tell a story. And I'm just going to wing it. And basically the story was basically how I was describing myself. But I turned it into this like almost your child got, you know, I won't say kidnapped, but somebody is picking my child up from school and I don't know who it is. And the punchline was, you know, it was me after I described how this person looked terrible. And within that week, I had over 12 million views.
Wow.
I had 12 million views. I had went from 5,000 followers to about 80,000 followers within that week. It had went that fast. Next thing you know, Buffalo Wild Wings is reaching out to me. Steve Harvey is, you know, posting my videos. Snoop Dogg, a famous comedian, reached out to me and was like, hey, because I kept doing, after that, I started doing sketches and things like that. And they're like, hey, are you writing these sketches? Are you coming up with this? And I was like, yeah. You know, and they're like, well, hey, you need to take it to the stage. You need to take that to the stage. And I was like, what do you mean? They were like, you need to do comedy. This is hilarious. And so I didn't really know what that was, because I'm an accountant. So I'm like, what do I got to go to school? You know, do I got to take some classes? Like, no, go to an open mic. And I'm like, I ain't finna, I'm not about to do that. I need to learn and perfect my craft and how God works, how he works so well when he has something lined up for you. I think maybe a week later, I want to say, I got a DM from a local comedy club, just out of the blue. I ain't called them. I got a DM and saying, hey, we found out that you were local. We love you. And if you come in and teach us TikTok, we'll offer you free comedy courses. Wow. So I started taking the comedy courses in 2021. I started in November 2021. I did my first show in December of 2021, and got a standing ovation. And so far I have performed at the Hollywood Improv. I have performed at the East Side in New York, and God has just truly been blessing me. And I really didn't know, you know, I knew that I love comedy. I love comedy writing. And then the next thing you know, companies are reaching out to me about my heart story. And so my story is a very tumultuous one. Going almost 8 years undiagnosed, having, you know, symptoms that I didn't recognize. And so I wanted to be a catalyst for my community when it comes to heart health, because heart disease is the number one killer. And it's very high when it comes to Black women and Black men. And a lot of times we ignore the signs. We're too busy. We have this cape on that doesn't exist, that you don't get any superpowers. And I started building these relationships with companies like Novartis and American Heart Association and Women Heart and Black Heart Association. I just recently came from Barcelona as a panelist for the Global Heart Hub. So I now know that, you know, I was trying to figure this thing out because someone came to me and was like, oh, you won't make money in stand up. And I was like, well, I thought that's what I was called to do. And God showed me that my calling was just to be my authentic self, whatever room I enter in. And whether it's a church, whether it's, you know, on stage, it's here, it's at a heart conference, I can be my authentic self, and I can always, you know, use humor to enlighten and educate. And so I'm thankful for that.
How did you get over the fear once it comes to like being scared of having like another heart attack or a stroke, like in the early stages of it, like after, you know, back in 2018 or whatever? How did you get over that fear?
Yeah, you took that question out of my mouth because I was going to ask
because that was my fear at the conference. I was scared of preaching and having a heart attack, and so that's why I was curious. Like, how did you get over the fear?
Because I know that I'm not in control of that. You know, I can only do what I can do, and I make sure that I'm exercising, taking my medicine, eating right, staying on top of my doctor's appointments. Being accountable. Now, as far as whether I have a stroke and a heart attack, I feel like that's not in my hands. I feel like, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, you know, I remember a doctor told me that, which I recently just lost 100 pounds. And I remember the doctor was like, you know, you're going into stage 2 diabetes. And if you go into stage 2 diabetes already having a heart attack and stroke, which diabetes is, it puts you at risk for heart attack and stroke, it will probably take you out. And so I was like, well, you don't have that. You don't, that's your expert opinion. But I know God hasn't told you that. And God hasn't told me that. And so I just live my life. I just live my life to the fullest. I don't worry about things that I can't control. I used to, But then I realized that I couldn't control it. So I was like, any good day God wants to call me, that's what's going to happen. And I don't have anything. And if he wants me to have another stroke, then that's what's going to happen. I don't have any control of that. So I don't worry about things I can't control that I can control, if that makes sense.
And one thing I want to ask this question. Because you said something that I want to really educate the audience today, especially because it's our community that you said that ignores these signs. What's some common signs that you say people ignore for heart attack and stroke related situations?
That's definitely a good question. So the interesting thing for women, we don't have the atypical symptoms that men have. Right. So men normally, you know, get the pain in the jaw, you know, the left arm pain, you know, a lot of times it could just be nausea and vomiting. It can be shoulder pain. My symptoms going back, I had symptoms 2 weeks leading up to my heart attack. And those symptoms were right shoulder pain, right arm pain, nausea and vomiting, back, lower back pain. All things that I was attributing to the flu. I was like, I'm coming down with the flu. And as I got closer, just a couple of days before, I started getting the light chest pains, but it wasn't necessarily right here in my heart. It was just, you know, chest pains in the upper cavity, which anywhere, what I've learned is that any pain in the upper cavity, shoulder area, can possibly be a sign of a heart attack, being extremely tired. If you know, realizing that, you know, like I realized that I was like, dang, I'm tired. I've never been this tired before. That was abnormal. Me saying I've never been this tired before and being aware of it was a sign. So the best thing to know is to know your body, because it is the best way. The body is the best way to tell what's going on with you. It will signal you, you know. Like just like before my stroke, I was having headaches and all kind of different things. My body was setting me up to let me know something was going on. So any type of chest pain, any type of unusual feeling, just period. If you ain't had it before, go to the doctor. You know, I just recently had a cousin that just got out the hospital today. And she was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. And she is 41 years old. And one of the things she said after seeing all the symptoms of congestive heart failure, shortness of breath, she said, I had all those symptoms. I've been having all these symptoms for months. Mm-hmm. And it never, you know, and sometimes I feel like when it comes to, I won't even just say the Black community, with a lot of people, sometimes we just don't want to know, right? You know, a lot of people like, I don't want to go to the doctor to get bad news. But I say that if God alarms you that something is going on with your body, that is your savior. Go to the hospital, get checked. Otherwise, like I said, I'd rather check in to get checked out. That's all I'm saying.
I think too, sometime with the Christian community, like with me earlier this year or this summer, once I was going through my health things, so I was sitting there trying my best to pray it off. Just like, I don't know what it is. I'm sitting here laying hands and trying to pray things off. And then I finally allowed my husband to convince me to go to the emergency room. Cause just, you know, like many others, don't want to go to the emergency room. Don't want to sit in the emergency room all night. Or we say, well, I'll go in the morning if I'm still hurting, or I'll go tomorrow. And
that was the day of the heart attack. I'm gonna go to sleep. And the doctor was like, if you would have went to sleep that night, baby, you probably wouldn't have woke up.
That was me, because I just happened to get there in time because I had inflammation around my heart and I had fluid. I had inflammation around my heart, and then I also had a heart infection and fluid. And so I could feel the stuff. And then they was just like, oh, and you got meningitis. And so I'm just sitting here like, okay, God, but it was a thing of symptoms saying, you know what? No, I'm good. Like, it's just pain, and I'm hurting from here all the way down. So I actually had the shoulder and neck pain. Yes. And so they kept doing stuff, but you know, and I ended up having to have the IV. I had a port in my arm. for the IV medicine and stuff for it, because they couldn't figure out where at first the infection was coming from. And then they was just like, oh, it's coming from the meningitis, which is causing your heart to causing the heart infection, which is also causing the inflammation in your heart. So it's just like, what the heck? But still, like you, it's just like once we're at a young age of our 40s and stuff, with me being 41, being at the young age of 40, we think we're exempt from heart attacks, and we think we're exempt from strokes, and we think we're exempt from certain type of things, and we actually have to do better with what we eat. And like, I know I just finished eating some chitlins earlier, but still, like, needed to be mindful of putting inside our bodies.
I'm still saying ill. I stand against chitlins. Chitlins is not the way. Back to your heart. Yeah, back to your heart.
I'm from Alabama, so you know that's.
You know, hey, listen, I grew up on chitlins too. I used to eat them, but I don't eat them anymore. But but that is an important thing. A lot of times we kind of put things on the backside. And you know, and in the church, I do remember my mom like, put some Vicksab on it. Put some Vicksab on your chest. You just congested, you know.
Yep.
Make you a hot toddy.
That part. I'll make a hot toddy quick.
I'll call this TMI, but I remember my grandma, anytime we would say something was hurt, she's like, do you need the boo-boo? Go. My head hurt, grandma. You got the boo-boo. Go in there and boo-boo. It stopped hurting.
Yeah, just go sit on there and your head will go away.
Yeah.
Or just go take a nap. Go lay down somewhere. Your head hurt. Go lay down somewhere. I told you stop watching that TV.
You've been standing around all day. If you wasn't standing around, your head wouldn't be hurting.
If you wasn't looking so close to that television, I told you, you would have no headache. So go lay down somewhere. You need some rest. But you know, one thing I want to say that is so important that both you guys are bringing awareness to is that it's important to go get checked out. Like, I know that a lot of people, because I've officiated funerals, and a lot of times, a lot of deaths could have been prevented. Absolutely. If they would have took the time to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a sad thing, that you lost your life to something that you could have prevented by just going to get checked. And some people have a phobia, and I don't know where it stems from. Well, I can. It's historically stem places. But if you look at how many people are just scared of the doctor, scared to go get checked out, scared to change their diet, scared to be able to get to a situation to be, I guess you could say, in a better situation for their body, you know, because some people, I knew people for years. It was like, well, if God gonna take me, he gonna take me. And that was that they stood on. I mean, they were serious about it. And they died standing on what they said. And yeah. I think it's something that is something that we have to change for the next generation, because we have all this knowledge. We're no longer in the point where we don't have the technology. Like back in the old days, in 1930s, 1940s, people would say, well, let me go pray on it. And when the house doctor come around here, we're going to be able to check ourselves. That was then. Now we got so many things where they could check your heart and prevent so many things and see things before it comes, so they could be able to help you. Like, I just don't want no more loss. And especially with COVID, ever since COVID, people are developing new things that I've never seen. People in their 20s having heart attacks. I've never heard of that growing up. But there's people in there were kids in high school having heart attacks.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times with children or teenagers, what we don't realize a lot of times is that a lot of the conditions go undiagnosed. And so those conditions were always there, whether they came at birth, you know, because there are a lot of, you know, infants that are, you know, born with congenital heart disease and things like that. And a lot of times when you're a child, you may not know how to communicate you know, that you're having pain. And so you're not going to the hospital, you know, your parents are not checking because you're a child. And they're like, well, you know, he probably got a cold, you know, we don't go and take our children to, you know, children's hospital when they're saying they have a chest. We try to remedy it ourselves. And so a lot of times those conditions were already there and they don't come about until like you're on the field and you're constantly exasperating that condition. So that's the thing, you know, a lot of times, those conditions are already there. Like my condition, I have a genetic heart condition and it had always been there. It just, you know, one day I was running on a treadmill and my body started, you know, reacting and letting me know that something is going on. But I went 8 years undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, just saying, hey, you just got exercise induced arrhythmia. You're working out too much. So I think it's really important for us to educate ourselves. That's the key, really educating ourselves on these conditions so we can be a catalyst for those who are coming behind us. So I think that's the key, you know, talking to your family members about it. That's one thing you just brought up, is that people, you know something's going on and they don't talk about it. Or in my family, finding out after I had a stroke that my dad had high cholesterol and that he's been on the same medication that I recently got put on because it was something that was always there. And had I really been talking to my father about his health condition or talking to my mom about my health condition, I could have better relayed that to the physicians. That way, when I go in, I'm like, no, my dad is Superman. Ain't nothing wrong with him. So they had nothing to look at. Well, if her parents are healthy, then okay, then she's healthy. Yeah, right. But versus me saying, oh, my dad has high cholesterol, he has cardiac arrhythmia, then the doctors would have been like, oh, I could give her, put her on a preventative medicine. We can do these additional tests that we normally wouldn't do beyond a stress test to see. So it's really about educating ourselves, educating our community, talking to our families about being transparent. And not keeping stuff in. I don't want nobody to know my business. That ain't none of their business what's going on with me. It is. It really is, because it has a domino effect.
So I have to ask this question real quick, and I'll get your prophetess Tish. It's sitting on me heavy. When you were going through your heart attack and stroke, mm-hmm. did you mm-hmm. feel like God was trying to tell you something at that moment?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. I think the first time. When I had the heart attack, it kind of snapped me into something temporarily, but I was snapped out really quick. But it wasn't until I had my stroke where I really stood back and was like, okay, God, like I thought I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. Like, what am I missing? You know, what am I doing wrong? And then you have to face your own mortality. So, you know, I have children, I have a husband, I have family members. And so I really, really took the time to build my relationship with God, really focusing on the word and what he was trying to tell me. Like a lot of times God is talking to us, And I always joke about this, because I'll be like, a lot of times I'll be saying stuff and I'll be hearing stuff and I'll be like, well, is this me telling me this or is God telling me this? Because I know I can convince myself and be like, God said I should do this just so I can do it. Right. Right. God didn't tell you to climb no building. Oh, well, I thought he did. But it's one of those. But you know what I'm saying? A lot of times. And it's really hard to explain. It's really hard to explain going through that, you know, coming close to, I mean, even prophetess, like coming close to death and really saying like, my time is really limited.
Yeah. You know,
time is really limited on this earth. How am I going to live this life and these days that God gives me, you know, how I choose to live in righteously, right? And I want to make sure that everything that I do is orchestrated by God, because a lot of times while God was writing, I was snatching a pen, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I need an exclamation mark, Lord. No, you need to put some commas there. Why is these words not capital, Lord? I'd want them to be capital. And I was learning that I don't have any control of my destiny. And you come to that fork in the road and you say, hey, I'm going to either go this way or I'm going to go that way. And so I didn't want that to be my story. Everything, I'm like, God, I'm listening to you. God, I listen to you. I hear you. And I'm walking in purpose.
Because, you know, the reason why I said that is because I remember the near-death experiences I've dealt with, one with a car accident and one with me getting hit by a car. I'm telling you, it's a car. The devil been trying to use the car with me. But outside that, both of those moments, it made me feel like
I need a new car. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I don't need no new car. I just need to watch out for other people driving. But when I actually went through those moments, everything slowed down to me. And it's like God made me have a 360 view of my life. Yeah. And to sit there and be like, bruh, this, I could take you right now. Like, and it makes it serious. like you're sitting in this moment and you're looking at all the variables of how you could literally be leaving right now.
Right.
And God be like, I could take you out. And I'll never forget it. I hear it. I was flipping in a car multiple times on the freeway. I figured I was gone. And I'll never forget, in my backseat, God said, but I'm not done with you yet. Man. That's
the same thing that I remember saying, that God said, if I cannot use you the way that I want to use you, I can take you out of here. I have a calling on your life. I have a calling on your life that is transformative and is going to change other people's life.
Yep. If I can't use you, Elijah, then I will raise up Jehu.
You said what now?
If I can't use you, Elijah, then I will raise up Jehu to be able to slay the spirit, the Jezebel spirit that I have. So, and that's what I think a lot of women are. So we're so used to being multifaceted in our personal life, that once it comes to ministry and once it comes to business, we have to start actually taking that time to sit still and say, God, what is your plan? What is your purpose? What area do you have me working in? Because if not, we end up, you know, with that feeling of feeling unfulfilled, or, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing this, but something just still not right. It's because we're not moving in our authentic self. We're not moving in our identity. So I love that. That's what you was mentioning earlier, of just saying, you know, hey, you show up in your authentic self, whether you're on the stage, whether you're on a platform speaking for his heart, be authentically you. And I'm going to speak through you. I'm going to use you in whatever platform that I place you on, that I'm going to speak through you. And I'm going to speak life into those individuals. And the way that I say it is going, the way I use your mouth may be different to some, but those voices those ears that your voice is called for, they will actually hear it. They will begin to receive it. And so I just need you to be you. I don't need you to be anybody else but you in this moment, in this season, because there's a purpose in everything that you went through. It was a purpose in the stroke. It was a purpose in the heart attack. It was a purpose while even in your transitional time of rehabilitation, going through rehab. It was a purpose in your move from Colorado to Dallas and going into, you know, being part of a violent crime. It was a purpose in all of that. He said, I just need to use what you've been through.
Yes.
Because it shows that it increased your faith. Yeah. It showed it increased your faith, because once I asked you the question, how did you get over the fear? Honestly, I mean, instantly you was able to say, you know, it's something I can't control.
Right.
Why worry about it? Why stress it? And that's what a lot of people need to hear in that moment, in that season, of just saying, you know what? Hey, you may have had one, but you can't, don't fear it. Don't, you know, be mindful of your body, but don't move in fear. And somebody needs that word. Somebody needs it. You know, hey, this may have happened to you. What you saw was your past. But I need you to continue to move forward. I need you to be forward focused. I need you to be focused up and say, hey, this is in the way that you have to move. And you cannot move in fear because God still have great things for you. You're still here. You woke up another day. The stroke didn't take you out. The heart attack didn't take you out. So what is it that God has placed you here to do? And do it.
So I have to say this. First, Prophetess Tish, this is for you. Count the cost. That's what God keeps telling me to tell you. Second thing I wanted to say is there's a lot of women that I know that feel like they have to give something up because of the ailment. Like they feel like they have, like the thing that they feel like God has brought them into ministry is maybe the time has passed, or maybe that because now certain things that has been, I guess you could say now their new life, their new way, and it's kind of limited them on some things. Now, on the other end of doing a lot, some people start letting things go. And what would you speak to that? Because there's a lot of people that are going through ailments and they feel like, I got to let my singing go. I got to let my acting go. I got to let my dancing go. I got to let this go because of my ailment and what my new life is looking like. What would you speak on to that?
Yeah, I feel like you said, like they feel like their clock has stopped or has stalled. No, the clock has started. The clock has began. This is your new start. This is your new life. This is, you know, anything that happens. I feel like everything that happens to you happens for a reason, and it sends you into upward trajectory. Listen, God's plan for you is the enemy's nightmare. And it's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. You know, the destination is not going to be easy. The terrain is going to be tough. You know, the road is going to be bumpy. But do you stop and get out of the car and turn around? No, you keep going. You keep going. You keep going. And I always say that the anointed are not influenced. We're not influenced by the enemy's voice over our lives. And that's what that is. When you feel like you want to give up, when you feel like you want to stop, or you want to feel like that's the enemy's voice. God is in control. God is in control. I have to admit, I was depressed, I was sad, but I heard that voice of God to say, no, baby girl, I got you. I got you. And I'm doing everything slowly because I want you to see the intricate details of each thing that I'm doing in your life. So you know that I had my hand in it, because you ain't going to say such and such did it. You going to know I did it. Yep. Whether you can't walk, whether you can't talk, there are people who don't have legs. There are people who don't have arms that are walking in their purpose. I have a friend, Amy Purdy, who is a double amputee, and she is killing it. The doctors told her she couldn't. She's like, no.
Let me tell you.
It's just like the doctors told me, oh, your life, you'll never be the same. I won't. I know I ain't.
Period.
So that's what you have to know, that God has a calling on your life. God didn't, just like you said, God didn't give you a second chance at life for you to remain stagnant.
Come on.
You preach it good. Somebody definitely needed that. So what's next? You got a book coming, you know, you got a movie coming, you know, you do a lot of great things. I'm just saying, you know, leading role in a Tyler Perry movie or something, you know, I'm just throw that out there. But so what is Tyler, we see you. But while I'm saying this,
one of the good wigs, though, Tyler. Give me a good wig, please.
No, you gotta get the one with you can't mismatch.
Get the one that's flipped up this way. The one is doing the Omega sign.
Man, you gotta have the one that got the little bell at the front of it, and it just be looking like this outside the wig.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. But what is next for you?
Oh God. So I have been, you know, this conversation came up today and it's really interesting. So I'm working on a YouTube series with my family. It's really inspired. It's inspired, but like inspired by Rose. It's like Roseanne in the Office comes in together. It's like a mockumentary. So I'm working on that with my son for 2024. I've also have become a voice actor. So I am a character in Little Run Run. So you'll see me in more episodes. I'm the messy wife. And I'm also working on a cookbook that actually is catered to those with heart disease, which is called Flavorful Beats.
Flavorful. I was about to pass all the way out. Like if she said Flavor Flav, just right. Then.
I put my clock on my chest. Do that dance. Oh, she got a 1999. Okay, never mind. But anyway,
Hey, he live out here in Vegas.
Remember the soldier, you know, Inspector. Yeah, okay, never mind.
So you have a cookbook. You got
So I'm working on a cookbook called Flavorful Beats. I'm hoping that it will be finished by mid-2024, towards the end of 2024. I'm also working on an abundance journal called God, Show Me How Good It Can Get. That is an affirmation that I have been saying for some time. And it is just about manifestation. And I know people get scared of manifestation because they always like that is not Christian based, but manifestation is just faith, you know, and just, you know, really believing in things that you can't see and knowing that
it's
they're going
to prophesy. Manifesting,
you know,
it's prophesying. You prophesy. You prophesy. You prophesy. It's the same words.
I ain't got to tell you.
My bad. I took that a little personal.
You know that with witchcraft, the abundance journal is something I'm working on, and just like I said, I try not to take too much control because a lot of times I be back at that snatching that pen. So I am just really walking in God's purpose and being the catalyst comedian coach that I am. Infusing, you know, education, life coaching, and humor to build that those who feel like their life is over, because I know that's how I feel. And so I just want to do things differently. You know, I don't want to do things the traditional route. And I'm not, you know, I'm walking unapologetically in my ministry, and I'm thankful that God, you know, if, you know, people ask me all the time, if God gave you a choice to go back through what you went through, a stroke and a heart attack, would you walk back through that door? Absolutely. And wouldn't look behind me, because if I didn't have that stroke, I'd still be at the IRS, at a desk, you know, working myself to death. Literally.
You're speaking to somebody. I just want you to know. I received that. Amen. I'm just saying, because, man, working at that desk. Okay, God, I see you. Amen. So one thing I just want to say on the behalf, just keeping everybody time conscious, I want to say on behalf of Anointed Radio, we thank you for coming on. I loved your story. I love when people when people are new to Anointed Radio and they be able to tell their story without trying to mirror it to others. Episodes and interviews, you'd be like, no, I want this episode to be about you. And I really think you did that. So I thank you, because you really freed somebody, especially with knowing your story and your testimony of what you've been through and what God has brought you out of. So from the bottom of my heart and in behalf of Anointed Radio, we thank you for coming on tonight and sharing your story. And I just want you to know it. Like I just said, for the last 6 years, you family now. So when you come out with your book, Flavorful Beats, let us know. We'll definitely support it. We'll put it out there. And in your series, let us know. We'll definitely share it from what we have, because we believe at our mission statement is unity brings change. If the body of Christ came together, think about how great of an impact we can actually show the unsaved. So I want you to know that you are doing a great job. If nobody else has told you that, and we ain't never met before, so this ain't no, like, you know, what is that called? Prosperity preaching, where we be like, well, Lord, I ain't never met you. You ain't never met me.
No, but, I grew up coaching now.
I didn't have the deacon go to the side and ask about their life and be like, yeah, I see this. No, this is real.
I'm talking to somebody in here.
Right. This was a real authentic first time meeting, and it was a great experience. And I definitely thank you for coming on and being transparent, because some people don't, especially in the Black community, we don't like talking about our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And having ailment is a weakness to some of us. And I appreciate it.
It's a strength.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. I want people to change that. Some people won't, like you said earlier, and like how Prophet Tish said, some people won't even admit that they did have an ailment.
Everybody ain't good enough to have no stroke and heart attack. You just
let that. Everybody
ain't good enough now.
you have to rely on a different type of faith once you are afflicted in your body. Like,
God chose me.
Getting up in and up and down a wheelchair, right. Can't walk, can't provide for your family. You looking at stuff like, they done burnt up all my pots. And anyway,
you know, that's really important, because people don't talk about that. People don't talk about the strain. People don't talk about the separation. People don't talk about the isolation. You know, my husband went from, you know, husband to caregiver overnight. And you know, from having to help me use the restroom, take a bath. That's not easy. It's not easy. And people don't talk about it. People don't talk about that because they're too embarrassed. And it's like, it happened.
And it does a toll on you mentally, like, you know, for the depression wise, because even after I was healed, I still battled with the depression. So though I was up and down from, I was out of the wheelchair coming out of the military, though I was out of the wheelchair, off of the cane, off of the walker and stuff, the depression was still there. The pain was gone, but the depression was still there.
Yeah, that it mentally incapacitates you. And I'll say this really quick. I remember that I was so mentally incapacitated that I had convinced myself that I was better. So when I was getting my treatment and I was in therapy, I would always, like, you know, go along with what they're saying. When they, like, it's stuff hurting and I knew it was hurting, or I knew I was struggling, I wouldn't say I was struggling, because I knew if I did, it was only going to keep me there longer. And I was still trying to chase. I was trying to chase that money and go back to my job and be regular, knowing that I was never going to ever be the same. And I remember they released me. I remember they actually released me and was like, oh, okay. And I started coming back home and I was falling and, you know, all kind of different things. And my husband was like,
trying to hide it from your spouse.
Yeah, like, well, if you like, why did they send you? Like, why did they release you if they thought you were doing better? And it was really like, no, she's saying she's doing better. You know, she's going along saying she's not hurting, she's not struggling. And it just only put me in therapy. They put me right back into therapy, and I went into therapy a whole another year and a half longer. But, you know, people don't talk about that. People don't talk about that. Mental health is really is stigmatized in the Black community. You know, nobody wants to talk about depression and being sad. And, you know, this is a major life change. Like, I went to work straight G'd up, hair bomb, getting ready to file them. I always tell this joke, getting ready to seize some property, you know, on a taxpayer. And I said, I don't know what that taxpayer prayed that day, but as soon as I opened that file, I fell on the floor.
You don't know what he prayed. He was praying hard.
He said, he spent an hour and a half.
He said he was on his face. Face forward, saying, God, everything that's coming against me in mine, stop it in the name of Jesus.
I opened that file and got the head start hurting.
He did a David prayer. In this
fire. Like, Jesus, be offense, Jesus. Jesus, be offense. Don't let her pick up the phone and call me today. Don't let her show up at my door. And
and it warrants him in my favor. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and the folder just started to shake.
I tell you. I didn't want to be at work that day, so it worked in our boat. God was like, I'm gonna answer two prayers at once, but she ain't gonna like having this go, but I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna try to do my best. She don't want to be at work today. He don't want her to file this tax lien. He don't want her to seize this property. Somebody gonna be happier than the other.
The call center was blowing up that day.
Man, he shouted after he found out nothing was seized. He was like,
I never went back to work. I never went back to work.
Hey, he said those that contend against those that contend against me.
Can you imagine the praise report he came to church with? I was about to be seized, but God said otherwise. Can you
had an appointment scheduled at 10 a.m. and she did not show up. She did not show up.
They can't be nothing about.
I think they fired her because she never, you know, they can't tell you what happened.
Never came back.
The call never came through. I was calling and the boy was going straight to voicemail.
My God.
Like, first giving honor to God.
Hey, you might have brought somebody to Jesus. He said, first of all, I ain't been a church in a while, but I was about to get seized. Y'all don't understand me. Can you hear me in the back? I was going to get seized. The Ira, the Ara, and the Essa. Even Jesus said, pay Caesar with Caesar's. And I wasn't paying.
She told me if I didn't have
I won't pay Caesar or God.
If I didn't have that money on April 9th, April 9th, 2019 at 10 a.m.
Oh my Lord. But see, I always look at that in the betterment. Somebody knew the Lord that day. See,
yeah, somebody knew the Lord. We
went through something for somebody else to know the Lord.
Lord was glorified.
he was trying to answer two prayers. Listen, she didn't want to be at work. Hey. I'm
sitting there like, does she really like this job though?
Yeah,
do
right. Really
like this job, and then he prayed for the first time. You know, I got to show a little favor. This is like the prodigal son coming back. I got to show a little favor on this side. But one thing I just want to say, everybody, make sure.
He said we didn't have this scheduled. Listen, I didn't have this. I knew some stuff was supposed to happen in 2030. We're gonna fast forward it.
Speed this up a little bit.
It's supposed to happen to 2030, but we're gonna make it happen today.
Talking about a God of recompense.
Man, and I bet you his word was it happened suddenly.
Listen.
Oh my God.
He started speaking in tongues that day. He
a whole preacher by now. He started a ministry on Facebook when the internet went live.
Yeah, he's still behind on taxes.
He still is. He got a church behind in Texas, but
right.
He ain't in that predicament that he was. Yeah, he said, but God.
I
feel bad, but you got to make light of it because sometimes when you look at what you've been through, you got to be like, it had to be some type of humor.
Have to laugh to keep from crying.
Facts.
And when I really thought when I started taking my pain to the stage, that's exactly these stories, these healing for me, and just made me laugh because that's exactly what I thought. I was like, I don't know what the hell he prayed that day, but boy, I know as soon as I opened that file. Listen, everything. My head start hurting. I start feeling dizzy. Next thing you know, I'm in the hospital. And I'm on a walker.
That file done burnt up. It ain't even found no more. Ain't no record.
Somebody else got it. He just got some time. God gave him time.
He said, "Now this is time."
God gave him time. Somebody else got
it. Amen. So, man, y'all make sure y'all go follow her on all social media platforms and all everything. And I'm gonna follow you on TikTok. I don't be on TikTok. I'm gonna be honest. You are or the second parent I done told that I sounded, I was like, man, I sound old, because I asked my own daughter, man, how do you do the little filter thingies on the TikTok? And I said, that sounded so old to me. So when I heard you just say, y'all go ahead and help me download
get on this TikTok deal. That TikTok deal. Get me on that TikTok.
Like that TikTok. How you put the little faces on it?
Like, did you download the app? What do you mean the app? What's the app?
That's how I felt. So when you did that, I'm definitely going to add you on TikTok and get more. Thank you. I was encouraged.
I just did it.
Yeah. To be more encouraged on TikTok. Because I don't be on TikTok, but I know a lot of people in my household do. But with that being said, it's about that time, y'all. We've been here. We've had a great time. We thank you for coming on. We thank everybody for tuning in. Anybody that's going to walk into, even listen to into the podcast later, make sure that you register with her, follow her, follow the podcast. Second thing I want to put there too, because I'll be omissed if I didn't do it, is that if you, because mental health is real. We spoke about this in the interview just recently. Mental health is real. And everybody knows my testimony. I've been doing this for the last 3 years, ever since my good friends have had took their life to suicide in the holidays. So every time that it comes around this time, it's a reminder. So I use that to fuel me to be able to stop somebody else from doing that, because making a permanent solution for a temporary problem, I know it sounds so cliche, but you don't know the people that you're gonna leave behind. And when you think about memories about people you grew up with and people that you were friends with or people you served with or people that you worked with, and you think about how that you could have been that difference, it eats up the person. So I want to put out there, if you are dealing with any type of suicide in this holiday season, make sure you text 988 or call 988. They made it shorter for people to get to help. Talk to somebody. The second thing I want everybody to do is go check on your people. I don't care about your attitude. I don't care that what happened in 1987 with Uncle Lester and all them. I want you to go and talk to your mama and them, because if you'll be hurt if they leave tomorrow, then it's time. I'm giving you the time, confirmation, to go talk to your people and fix it now. Get what's off your chest so that you could be able to mend relationships and build it while the living. I'm tired of seeing funerals where people say we got to get better when no one talked when people were alive. This is serious. Talk to people now. Check on your people. Check on your family. Check on your friends. If you don't know what people are going through. So with that being said, make sure y'all follow us on all social media platforms. Follow us on the podcast. We're on everything but Tidal, but we're on the podcast, so register with us. And with that being said, my parting words with you guys today will be simple enough as enjoy the present. Because if you stay in the past, you'll never appreciate your future. Amen. Man, why y'all look so serious? Why are we about to leave out? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, y'all. See y'all next week. Peace.